Welcome to the Generations Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Nugent. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.
In a moment, I'm going to be at the at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to turn there, get ready to turn there in just a moment. I started a couple weeks ago, started doing a series called What Is Your Shape? That is a series about serving God. We see from passages in the scripture that we are not just saved in this life just to kind of sit and wait until we die. But the Lord has a plan. He's got a purpose for us on earth that we can serve Him and live for Him. And let me just tell you, what the Lord did for me, I could never repay. The debt is so great, my futile few acts of service would never compensate for the act of grace that God did in my life. But do you know what I've determined? I'm going to give my life in service for my Lord, whatever He asks, with everything that's within me. If you agree with that, say amen this morning. That's our goal today. 1 Peter chapter 4, this has kind of been our text, you know, kind of the theme text. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Look at that passage. I want you to say it with me. Would you repeat it with me? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, we see from that passage that everyone, God places in everyone a gift, and that gift is to be used for service, to be used that God can use you to serve people, you know, in the kingdom of God here on earth. It also says that we are stewards of this gift of service. So I'm asking, are we faithful stewards with the gift of service that the Lord has placed in our lives? So what is our shape? That's the kind of the question that we're asking through this series. So 2 weeks ago, we started with understanding our design, how God made us. Psalms 139 talks about the intricacy of the physical creation of God and how he made each of us. And we looked in that message, we looked at how God gives each of us unique talents. We looked at, you know, that we should realize our limitations in that and that we should follow our passions and that we can find our gift of service, you know, through understanding our design. The way God made us can kind of point us generally in the right direction for our shape and our service. Last week, we talked about experiences that the Lord gives us and that how God can shape us through different life experiences. We talked about family and relational, you know, experiences. We talked about, family and religious experiences. We also talked about relational experiences. We talked about difficult experiences. You heard Sherry Case share her testimony last week. Unbelievable. We talked about spiritual experiences, how God can take those experiences that we have, and He can also shape us and kind of, you know, give us some unique twist and turn in our own life to be, you know, to be used for God's glory. So we're talking about what is our shape. We're trying to find, you know, some of you may know, some of you may be going through a season of discovery. What does God have for me? Why am I here? What is the plan that God has for me for service? So we're looking at what is my shape. Then we're also want to place you in the right environment for when you discover your shape, you're placed in an area, man, that you thrive and that you flourish. So we've looked at unique design. We've looked at experiences. Today, we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, and ministry callings when it comes to our shape. Okay, the role of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts, and ministry callings when it comes to kind of knowing our shape. So I want to ask you a question. How are we going to accomplish what Jesus asked us to do here on the earth. How in the world are we going to accomplish what Jesus asked us to do upon the earth? Well, I want to tell you, on our own, we wouldn't be able to do a whole lot. But he said, I'm not going to leave you alone to kind of work through and figure out how to do this. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he is going to help you as an individual. He's going to help us as a church. He is going to guide us. He is going to lead us. He is going to call us, and he's going to empower us as individuals and as the church so that we can do the works of Jesus. So to answer the question, man, how are we going to do this? It's going to be through the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, he came in the earth not long after Easter and had an explosion on the day of Pentecost. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit on the earth today is alive and well, and he's doing God's service. He is still convicting people, and he's still saving people. He is still cleansing people and bringing them into Christ's likeness. He is still filling and baptizing people. He's still maturing people, and he is still empowering the church through spiritual gifts and ministry callings so that we can do the works of Jesus. Give the Holy Spirit a hand clap this morning. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. The work that he assigned for us to do is supernatural. It's a supernatural work. And if we get away from the supernatural element to what we try to do, we are only left with human will and human intention, and that will fall way short of what the Lord has in store for us. He's looking for a church today that he can fill with his power and his presence. He is looking for individuals today that he can fill with his power and his presence. We don't serve a dead God, and we don't want to go to a dead church. We need the Holy Spirit working in our church today. So he wants to do that through some type of spiritual gift that he imparts to people. You have, as part of your shape, the Holy Spirit puts things in our heart and uses us in ways that we would not, you know, we would not even understand. He's got a gift and a calling for you that we're going to talk about this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's talk about this. Let's walk through this passage this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 says, verse 1, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Very important sentence there. He's saying there's some things that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. He's wanting to say to you as individuals, he's wanting to say to the church, but you hadn't quite got it yet. So concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be uninformed. And then he takes like the next 10 or 12 verses and he starts fleshing out these spiritual gifts and what they mean to the church. Look at verse 4, all right? So let's look at this. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." So just those passages that he begins the teaching and the instruction of spiritual gifts, it tells us a few things, all right? Every believer has been given spiritual gifts from the Lord to be used for effective service. Every believer has been given spiritual gifts from the Lord for effective service. A spiritual gift is a unique, God-given ability for service. It's beyond my own capacity to do. This isn't some extension of a natural gift that I already have. This is a unique enablement of the Holy Spirit to use me for God's glory. Not every person has the same gift. Later in 1 Corinthians, he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, do all have workings of miracles? No, no, no. It's kind of unique to each individual. The Holy Spirit will lay in your heart the unique spiritual gift that he has for you. A spiritual gift is a unique ability. It's a unique ability. It's not, as I said, some kind of extension of a natural gift. God gives you something, you know, in your life that he wants to use for your glory. The Holy Spirit supernaturally enables people to serve beyond their abilities. Your natural talents are given to you at your natural birth, but your spiritual gift is given to you at your spiritual birth. Psalms 139, when he's making us all up, and the inmost being, he put some things in there, some natural things. Let me tell you, from the time Steph Curry, you know, was created, he was created to beat and sweep LeBron. That's just his gift. The dude can hit some threes. Some people, they just have unique abilities that are, you know, when they're born, they've just got those natural gifts. The spiritual gifts are given on the day of our spiritual birth. The Lord puts some things in our heart and he gifts us in a way and says, if you yield to me and you let me work in your life, there's a supernatural way that I will use you. Your natural talents can make you famous, but your spiritual gifts can make Jesus famous if we let him, you know, work in our hearts. So let's go through that list really quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I want to go down that list because I've got some other things to say this morning. But let's look at the types of spiritual gifts. Now remember, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed concerning spiritual gifts. And then he kind of lists them. So we're going to kind of read that passage where he is educating the church. I don't want you to be uninformed about these. I want to tell you about them. So I want to walk through these just really quick. And I got some other things to say. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Look at this. Now to each one, the working of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, that by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these work one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one as he determines. Okay, so let's read that and let's unpack that just a little bit. He says he doesn't want us to be uninformed about this, so let's take a moment and let's kind of educate ourselves on these spiritual gifts. So I'm going to walk through them really quick. The spiritual gift of wisdom. All right, the spiritual gift of wisdom. Now we know that a lot of wisdom can come from life experiences, kind of the older that you are, you attain a certain life wisdom, but that's not what this is talking about. The gift of wisdom is not an earthly wisdom, but a wisdom that comes from God that would have an answer for a certain problem. So this gift does not mean that you will be wiser than every other person on every topic. It just says from time to time, the Holy Spirit may speak something to you in your life that would be an answer for you or for someone else. They would give an answer to a difficult circumstance that they may have. So here's how it works. You kind of feel this in your heart. You feel like, man, where did that come from, number one? Where did that come from? Don't we pay the pastor? Isn't he supposed to be doing this? That's part of the problem. We think it's all up here. And Jesus says, I've got something for the whole body to be involved with. So somewhat, you get a message of wisdom. You've got some kind of answer for someone. Okay? Now let me say, first of all, when we get something like that, you know, when it comes, it doesn't go, attention, attention, word of wisdom being deposited in your heart. It's not that way. It's just kind of this revelation that just comes. It just kind of pops in your heart, and you're just going, wow, you know, where did that come from? Sometimes it's not loud, it's not aggressive, it's just this kind of revelation in your heart. See, some of you have been getting some of this stuff, and you're going, wow, it didn't knock me down when I heard it, so it must not be from God. I'm telling you, when he speaks in a still, small voice. We need to remember that. So it doesn't come like that. And then when we get that message, we need to go humbly. We don't need to go, excuse me. I have been given the gift of the message of wisdom. You need to listen to what I have. You go very humbly. You go very humbly. And you just go, you know what? I just want to just share this with you. Whatever it means to you, I just want to share it. And you say whatever God says, you know, in your heart. Aren't you just, you deliver that. It might be for you. It might be for the church. It might be for an individual. So we just got to do it. We just do it very humbly. But there are times that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and give us that message of wisdom. Look at the next one, the spiritual gift of knowledge. Some of the same principles of the word of wisdom would apply to the word of knowledge. The gift of knowledge would reveal details of a situation to give advice, counsel, and direction in a certain area. So this doesn't mean that you're wise on all topics. This does not mean that you're going to be the grand master of Trivial Pursuit. All right? I know it all. This is going to be something that God will speak, that will enlighten, and that will help you. You know, when you speak that to an individual, you know, that maybe certain details that are going on in their life. So that is the spiritual gift of knowledge, that the Holy Spirit can speak into our life. The next one is the spiritual gift of faith. The book of Romans says everyone has a measure of faith, but this is not necessarily that. The gift of faith would be an unwavering assurance or belief in some type of miraculous occurrence. So, man, you're in your prayer time, you're at home, and all of a sudden, man, just dropped in your heart, there's just this faith that you have either in your life or for someone else that God is going to do something miraculous in the future. It is unwavering. It does not come from your natural eyes or your natural senses, but it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and you're going, man, I believe that God is going to move in this particular area. So if that happens to you, if you had that word of that gift of faith, and man, there's just this unusual, unwavering belief, man, that God is going to do something miraculous. Man, you just go, man, you pray. Man, you pray. If you know who it's for or what it's for, you pray. And then, man, you go to him humbly, and you go, hey, can I just tell you, in this certain area, man, I just feel like God is going to give you whatever miracle you desire. See, we need that in the church. We need that in the church. We need faith-believing people in the church that can speak life and they can speak faith. And some of you, man, God's given you that before, and you're just like, well, I mean, that wouldn't be for me to use. Yes, that's for you to use. So that is the gift of faith, and it's important in the church that people are operating with a gift of faith. Look at the next one, the spiritual gift of healing. We're all called to pray for those that are sick. It's all biblical to lay hands and anoint people with oil, you know, but this gift operates just a little differently. It is not the understanding, you know, like of medical, you know, a medical diagnosis or to have the, you know, knowledge of the sickness or disease. Can I tell you, I've had people ask me medical advice, all right? because they think I've got some inside line to know what they should do. Remember, I'm the one that taped my toe to the other toe with masking tape. You don't want to ask me medical things, all right? So it's not that gift to know medical diagnosis. The gift of healing would initiate healing of the sick either progressively or instantaneously. So that gift would come to you on a person that is sick, and you just have this unusual burden to pray over them and pray for them in their area of sickness. So number one, when that gift is revealed, and we just feel, man, I've got, sometimes it works with faith too. Man, I've just got this belief that somebody, this person is going to be healed. And you can instantly start to pray, because we know from the times of Jesus, you don't have to be close by. You know, he's a God of distance, and he can heal by distance. But also, it doesn't hurt to go to that individual and go, hey, you know what? Man, I've had you on my heart, and I'm just believing that God is going to heal you. And I want to, if you don't mind, I'd like to pray for you. That would be kind of the appropriate way or that expression of the gift of faith. Now listen, some of you've had that before. You've had this kind of inclination, this kind of awareness in your heart of someone that is sick or that's got, you know, and you're like, why are they on my mind? What is going on? Sometimes that is the gift of healing that is operating in you, and you need to walk out in that and pray for them. And if you feel comfortable, go have some contact with them and pray over them. The next, let me say this, all right? And this gift has been abused. You do not have to pay money to people on TV to be healed. All right, that was a weak amen, but I'll take it. One day I'm going to come back and preach on all that stuff right there. We're going to light it up in here. But his gifts are not for sale. Okay? The spiritual gift of miracles. We should all understand that the God that created all can sustain all, and that he can correct all. Nothing is out of the scope of his power. And this is where the gift of miracles comes in. This gift would include other miraculous occurrences outside of healings. Things such kind of big, Red Sea dividing, storms ceasing, creative miracles, deliverance, resurrection. So this would kind of be kind of a big, you know, believing God for some big, you know, for some big things. How many of you know that it's important in the body of Christ to have people that can believe God for some big things? He's not just the God of the small miracle. He's the God that can give us miraculous power and see a miracle today. We need that. We need people flowing in that, you know, in that particular gift. Look at the next one. The spiritual gift of distinguishing different kinds of spirits. All right. Now Jesus said, in the last days, there would be those that are wolves, but they would come in sheep's clothing. They're going to be those that are going to try to disguise and hide themselves in the church, in your life, in your Bible study, all that kind of stuff. Don't we see the importance of having people that flow in this particular kind of gift? So this gift is the supernatural ability to distinguish between good and evil, flesh and spirit. This gift is a supernatural ability to distinguish between good and evil and flesh and spirit. I'll give you the biblical example. So Paul's going down the road one day, and this young lady, she keeps bragging on him. She keeps going, Paul, the man of God, Paul, called of God. And everybody else is going, look at this sweet young lady. How sweet is she? Look at, she's saying such nice things. But in Paul's heart, he was hearing something else different. There was something that was unsettling to him. And this young woman, she just kept going, Paul, the servant of the Most High God. And he stopped and he said, hush, and you evil spirit, you come out of her. Now, I'm sure his team was like, oh my goodness, I've blown it. But that's the distinguishing, that's the gift is the supernatural ability to distinguish between evil and good, flesh and spirit. Don't you think this would be helpful in the church, in your life, in your world, if you've got daughters with boyfriends coming over? Yeah, I want to flow in that gift. But let me say, we need to be careful that this gift is not abused because somebody looks and acts differently and dresses a little bit differently either. This is a divine revelation that God would give. There would be this sense, this uncomfortable sense, or this affirming sense that somebody is good. Remember when Paul got saved, or Saul, they were really having trouble in the church determining whether he was for real or not. And it was the Holy Spirit that gave revelation to Barnabas and said, this guy is good. Let me say this. The gift of the distinguishing of different spirits is not the gift of being nosy. Can I say that? It's not that gift. All right? It's an unusual kind of sense where you just feel something's not right in your heart. It's not your own senses. Something in your heart. It's the gift of the distinguishing between gifts of different spirits, of evil spirits and good spirits, of flesh spirits, of flesh and right spirits. So next one, the spiritual gift of prophecy. Prophecy and the prophet date back to the Old Testament times. We've always had people like Isaiah that would thunder and speak, thus saith the Lord. This gift is not necessarily that. It is an extension of the prophetic gift from the Old Testament, where you don't have to be considered a prophet. You just have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the Lord can use you in the gift of prophecy. This gift is to be used to proclaim a revealed message from God. It can be used in preaching, but not exclusively. So when we say someone has the gift of the spirit of prophecy, it doesn't mean that they're foretelling future things. That's not necessarily this definition, but it is an inspired message that could be spoken from the pulpit. It could be used in the congregation. It can be used, in other forms. So the gift of the spirit of prophecy. The next one. The spiritual gift of speaking in different kinds of languages. This is the most uncommon one that we see. This gift involves speaking a divine message in different languages that have not been previously studied or learned. So this gift does not mean all of a sudden I can speak Spanish. I prayed for that in high school before my Spanish final exam. And I did not get a miracle, let me just say that. It's not that gift. It's the most uncommon gift, but it's one of the most fascinating gifts. Acts chapter 2, you can see it in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit falls, and the scripture says people begin to speak in different kinds of languages, okay? Heavenly languages, earthly languages. It was 120 of them in the upper room. Now, other people are standing around and they're going, what is this going on? And here is what a bystander that was kind of witnessing what was going on in the upper room, here is what he said. Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? So they were speaking in a language that they did not know, and there were people around them that were being blessed by the witness. It was a miraculous occurrence. That would be a miracle if God was using you in this kind of gift, and God will use this gift to assist his people to witness, evangelize, and prophesy. That's what Paul said. The next gift. The spiritual gift of translation of languages. So if you have unlearned languages being spoken, you would eventually need the translation. This gift would be used to translate the message mentioned in the previous spiritual gift. So they kind of work hand in hand. Someone is speaking a language that they have not previously studied or learned. And then just as supernatural would be the translation of that of that particular language. Now, if you want some interesting homework, go home and read 1 Corinthians 14. And Paul will lay out how these two gifts work together in our lives and in our church. It is a fascinating, you know, it's a fascinating kind of read. And we've seen those gifts even bless our own church from time to time. Prophetic gifts. And these last two gifts have been, you know, spoken in our particular church. So that's a very brief rundown. He said, I don't want you to be uninformed about this. And then he listed those nine. All right, so I just wanted to touch them really quick. One more passage that he mentions a few more. I'm only going to read over them, and then I'm going to move on. Romans chapter 12, just a few more. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. He says that again like he did in 1 Peter 4. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy, okay? If your gift is serving, then serve. Your home, your neighborhood, your church. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement, kind, uplifting words. If it is giving, then give generously. So it would be the role and goal to give. It would be someone to know that my gift is to fund things in the church. If it's leading, then lead. Those with administration, organizational, and communication skills. There's a role in the church. Those, he said, if it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Sympathy for others when they are broken, poor, hurting, and fallen. So he mentions some other spiritual gifts that he may use us, that we may flow in. So what is our shape? Everyone has a different gift. At your spiritual birth, God placed a gift or gifts, in your life. Some of you, you know what your gift is. You know what your spiritual gift is. You've been used in it. You're comfortable with it. Others, you're going, man, what's my gift? What's my gift? We'll talk about that at the very end, all right? So, first part, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Spiritual gifts. The second thing I want to mention is ministry callings. Ministry callings. Now, I'm going to talk to everyone, but I want to talk to young people especially in this. Spiritual gifts are more temporary in nature. So you might have a gift of healing and the Lord may use you, you know, in that particular area. But ministry callings would be more permanent. It would be a way that God, you know, is calling you, you know, in a more permanent way. Ephesians 4 says, so Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So these type of callings, they would be callings to the preaching ministry, okay? Everybody is serving through the spiritual gifts, but there are other ways that God shapes people by putting a particular calling upon their lives. So he says apostle, that'd be maybe a missionary or a church planter or someone that has oversight in the church. Prophets, we just talked about that, speaking for God, proclaiming truth. Evangelists, those that preach, that have the heart and the verbal gift to win souls. Is there any doubt that Billy Graham had the gift of evangelism? It didn't matter what he preached. He came back to winning souls, all right? Pastors, you know, those that would shepherd a local flock. Teachers, insight and capability to explain scripture. So he gives these ministry callings to equip God's people for works of service. Now, it's not necessarily full-time. Not necessarily. Sometimes it works that way. Sometimes it's not. Paul wasn't full-time in what he did. He had a kind of a side, you know, had kind of a side job, but there was this calling that was upon his life. Now, how can I know if God is calling me in this way? How can I know if God is calling this way to maybe being a pastor or a missionary or evangelist or teacher? It works several different ways. Number one, you would hear through God's word. You'd be reading. I mean, God would speak to you. Man, his word would just come alive in your heart, and there would be a sense that God would use a passage or a story, and that you would know through God's word and the Holy Spirit and that word that God is calling you, you know, God's calling you to the preaching ministry. So that's one way. Or the Holy Spirit, you would just kind of sense in your heart. You would just have this overwhelming sense. Man, what's going on? Man, I'm feeling this drawing, this calling to ministry. What's going on in my mind? It's not something that you're fixated on, but it's something maybe that's surfacing out of your heart. Or the Holy Spirit may reveal in an unusual way, you know, the calling that God has upon your life. So last week I talked about Acts 13. They were in the prayer meeting. Remember that story? Five of them were gathered praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul and Barnabas and said, I'm sending you out. Okay? Now, it could be one of those, or it could be several of those. You could sense something in your heart, and man, then you open the scripture, and God will confirm that call to you, or there may be an unusual kind of revealing in your own life. Can I tell you how I knew? Can I tell you how I knew I was that God called me? I was serving God. I was a teenager. I had turned my life over to Jesus. I had a radical turnaround in my life, filled with the Spirit, taking my Bible to school. I was that guy. I mean, it was a 180, all right? I love the Lord, and I found me a new set of friends, and you know, it was Friday night and they were at a revival. And I had a baseball game, and I was really late. So I missed worship, and I missed the first part of the sermon, okay? So I'm sitting on the back row, kind of slipped in the back. Some of my friends, and, you know, they're sitting on the back row, and I had missed most of the service, and I wasn't very engaged, I'll just be honest. I'm kind of talking, passing notes, you know, just, I'd missed the opening, and just, you know, we were going out to eat afterwards, and I'm sitting on the very back row there, and, you know, just kind of minding my own business, kind of chatting, talking just a little bit, and the preacher was preaching, and at the very end of his message, he said, "You on the back row in the blue shirt, come to the front." I was going, "God, do a miracle. Make this a green shirt, please, please." And I went, "Like me?" And he went, "Yeah, you." I'm like, "Oh, man, this is bad news. I slowly, you know, walked down to the front, repenting of my sins the whole way down. And I get to the front, and he says, "I want to tell you something. This will be a night that you will never forget in your life." And I just thought, I know, because my mother is going to kill me when she hears what has happened. And he just laid his hands upon me. And he said, "Lord, I want you to speak to this young man tonight." Man, and when he did, I just broke. God just spoke to me in that moment. He said, "I'm calling you tonight. Tonight you're mine. You'll live the rest of your life in service for me. You'll preach this gospel." I felt that. Man, it was just, wow. It wasn't what the preacher necessarily said, but there was just this experience with the Holy Spirit. Man, I just fell down on my knees. Man, I knew in that moment that God had a different shape for my life, that God was using a calling that would shape me. I knew in that moment, I didn't know exactly where it would take me in my life, but I knew that God was clearly speaking to me about a ministry call. Now, let me say something. If you're a young person, every call comes a little bit differently. Not every call will be like that. Some it's more quiet. Some it's more intuitive. Some it comes out of the Word. But there are times that God will speak to you through His Word, through His Spirit, you know, in an unusual way that God is laying His hand, you know, upon your life. So, you know, if you feel and sense that call upon you, and you're not sure, maybe you're kind of, man, is this for me? What's going on in my life? Then here's some steps. Go talk to your church leaders and tell them what you're sensing in your heart. Go tell them what, hey, I might be sensing a ministry call in my life, because it's through the leaders in the local church that call will be confirmed and worked out. Sometimes people, you know, they go through that process and they find later on it wasn't necessarily, you know, a ministry call, but sometimes it kind of confirms that call when you go talk to your leaders and they're praying with you about that and they're watching, you know, God's hand upon his life. Once that calling has been determined, you need to keep working in the church and have some form of formalized ministry training to prepare for ministry. So once you know, you need to keep your hand on the practical side and learning church work, but there needs to be some kind of formal training that goes on in your life. David is here, man, he sensed a call. He went to Bible college. He's here this summer kind of getting some practical, you know, background training, but he's also got some formalized ministry training going on in his life. Now, that's one way that you can do it. There are other ways. There are online classes from Bible colleges. There are, you know, there's Global University that you can do distance learning. There's the District School of Ministry in Marianna. There's all kinds of ways that you can begin that training if you feel that God, you know, that God is calling you. All right. But it comes back to this sense of your heart in your life that you feel God speaking me to prepare my life for the preaching ministry. So I just talked to young people for a moment. Everybody, you know, everybody, but primarily younger people. So I want to talk about ministry call when it comes to ladies in ministry. All right? Ladies in ministry. All right, we've seen some bad stuff on the news called Me Too. We've seen kind of this outcry from women about terrible treatment that they've, you know, had over their life, you know, in different vocations. You know, and I'm ashamed to say there was Me Too in the church as well. If you saw Beth Moore's, or you read Beth Moore's letter, did anybody read that? About some of the abuses that women have had as they were kind of approaching the ministry, kind of dismissive in their, you know, in their actions, and, you know, toward women, not affirming, not really, you know, opening doors for women, you know, for women in ministry. Beth Moore can't even go by the title of Reverend. She just, you know, they just won't, you know, won't do that. All right. And there have maybe in the past, there might have been kind of structural issues where young women did not feel like they could serve in the church. But I want to say to you, if you're a lady, if you're a young lady today, that is changing, thank God. The prophet Joel said, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. On my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. Can I tell you, when he puts his spirit in you, it is more than just handing out donuts. That's all the women can do. That's all they're qualified for. No, when God puts his spirit upon you, God can use women in a mighty way. Amen? Amen. I can't speak for other organizations, but I can tell you about the Assemblies of God. All right? For years, we've been allowing women to fulfill the call of God upon their life. Today, we have 9,142 women that are credentialed ministers in the Assemblies of God. It is almost 24% of all of our credentialed ministers are women. I praise God for that. 10 years ago, there was only 69 women pastors. Today, there's, you know, a little less, you know, maybe 569 women pastors there. I'm just saying to young ladies, there is an effort where God is calling young women, and barriers that have normally been there to keep you from following God in ministry are dropping. You can find your call and your destination today. This past week in the Assemblies of God, it was a historic week. We got a picture up here, Donna Barrett, this lady right here. She was installed as one of our executive leaders, secretary. Man, just chosen by you see Dr. Bradford that was there, who spoke for us a couple years ago. He's returning to full-time pastoral ministry, and they felt like God would have a woman serve on our executive. Man, she's one of the top four. She's one of the top four, all right? I'm just saying to you that there is a day today to young ladies that if you want to follow the call of God, you can follow the call of God. What did we have on the stage this morning? We had a lady up here. She's not sure of her destination, but we won't hold that against her. She's a single lady, has vision issues, some other health issues. Holly worship team, you guys can come. But you say, you know what? I feel like God's calling me. I feel like God's calling me. You know what? Talking to her, our leaders talk to her. Man, I agree with that call that's on her life. And we're doing everything we can, Angie, to get you there. Not just to get you there, but we want to affirm to you, and I want to affirm to other women and young ladies here today. Man, if you feel the call and the direction of the Lord upon your life, you know God can use you in that particular area. So there's ministry callings for young people and for ladies. So how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? We're in the altar time here. Go ahead and play. How do I know? How do I know what my spiritual gifts are? 1 Corinthians 14 says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So he gives the teaching in 1 Corinthians 12. Then in 14 he says, now you need to desire them. You need to pray for them. You need to, you know, you need to ask God to reveal them to you. Sometimes we ask the question, why don't we see miracles like we did before? Why don't we see what we used to see? Do you know some of that answer is because we have a very small percentage of people flowing in the spiritual gifts like God would have them? That was a good amen point. You're not going to say it, but I'm dead on right there. We got people that feel like, I'll serve as an usher, but a spiritual gift is not for me. I'm saying you're wrong. You're wrong. God's got a spiritual gift that he will reveal to you. Some of you know what that spiritual gift is. So, but pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Be sensitive in some of the areas that we talked about today. Some of you don't think God could use you in that way. And I'm telling you, he doesn't care about your resume. He doesn't care about your age, how long you've been in it. He's just looking for a vessel that says, God, use me. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. We need this. We need these spiritual gifts. We are battling in a spiritual realm. We've got to have spiritual gifts. Some of you have had some of those gifts in the past, and they've just lied kind of dormant. You've seen them kind of surge before, and now they're just kind of lying around. Well, let me just say, 2 Timothy says, fan into flame the gift that is in you. Another version says, stir it up. Stir up the gift that is within you. Fan that flame. Believe that God has a gift in a way, in an enablement, an unusual way that God wants to use you. And if you're here this morning, maybe you've got a ministry calling. Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe God has spoken. Maybe you're unsure. I'm telling you, you need to take the next step and have that conversation. I'm praying. Listen, teachers, they always recruit teachers. Medical people recruit medical people. Don't blame me for trying to recruit preachers, okay? I can't call them, but I can talk about it and let God do his work. And there wouldn't be anything greater to me from the church is to see Angie Hughes, just one of many that God calls out of our congregation. Pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries. Not a higher pat on the back to the church than when God starts speaking and calling young people into the ministry.
This concludes today's message. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened. For more information, please visit our website at gctlh.org or like us on Facebook.